Sure. Yeah. So, I always, you hear it thrown around a lot. I grew up in culturally Christian home. My parents never really took me to church too much. My grandma and them were Baptist, so I went to Baptist church a couple of times. My dad never took went to church, didn't really have any relationship with God, was pretty vocal about that, not needing to go to church and saying it was all about money and all these types of things. But I remember, kind of having this aversion to religion at a young age because of those types of things, being told that it's not important and it's just decide for yourself what's right and wrong, and well, I guess what you could call a secular home, right? And went to church a couple times here and there. I went to Bible camp once when I was a kid, but that's just because all my friends went. And it's funny, I remember before I went, I can't remember if it was my mom or dad who told me, I was like 6 or 7, but they told me that if they try to get me to do anything I wasn't comfortable with, and they were talking about like getting baptized or things like that, to say that I wasn't going to do it. So I remember I went to this church camp. It was called Camp Pyankatank, and it was by the river. And on the last day of summer camp, they were going to baptize everyone. And I was like the only kid who refused to go because I remember my parents told me not to do it if they got me to do it, right? So I didn't really like understand. I was just a kid, like I didn't really know right from wrong or anything like that. But I do remember a few instances where my mom would pray with me when I was young, not to Jesus or anybody like that, but just in general, like, Lord, I lay me down to sleep, that kind of prayer at night. And God was just a kind of an afterthought. It was something that I really thought that I had neatly avoided for many years of my life. Like, it was a subject matter that I wasn't going to have to unwrap or participate in at any point in my life because it was irrelevant. It had nothing to do with me having a good life. It had nothing to do with really anything. It was just something left over from an archaic mindset. I really honestly believe that the only reason people believed in God was to explain things that science could now explain, like weather and all these things. And it's foolish, really, but I wasn't really raised any different. I feel like a lot of people in this day and age aren't either, because that's what we're told, that science is king. Science is science can explain everything. So I kind of grew up with that atheist, materialist, I guess you could call it agnostic, early youth. It wasn't so much that I was militantly anti-God. I was just apathetic towards God at all. I felt like it was not important to me,
Yeah. So without like a strong value system, I think high school is kind of the testing ground of, I don't even know, like the first testing ground of a person, because you're thrown into a lot of, like, with a lot of people in a place that you've never been, with a lot of new ideas. College, in a way, is also another version of that, but high school, to me, I think, is the first one. So, as an atheist, which I understand because I used to be one, there's not really a sense that, I mean, there's a vague sense of what's right or wrong, but it's a little bit more blurry than, religious folks. How was high school for you?
Sure, yeah. So I was a pretty good kid for a while, up until middle school. I had like straight A's, played football, did the whole thing. And in high school, it really unfolded. It's funny that you say it's a testing ground and having no litmus test. I remember being young, and I was a little bit overweight, and I'd moved to a new school, and I didn't really fit in with many people. And I remember feeling very out of place. I think everybody kind of goes through that, like this desperate desire to fit in. And again, having no real value system, not really having a strong family structure behind me or anything like that, I just went with the crowd, right? And I went with the people that I fit in with, and the people that I fit in with were the people that did bad things. To say the least, partying, drinking, smoking, all that kind of thing. I guess a little bit here, God bless them, but my parents struggled with drugs and alcohol, throughout life, so I didn't really have much of a perception that that sort of lifestyle was wrong. I thought it was expected, and that was really reinforced too by a lot of television, movies, American Pie, rap music, that whole like American culture type thing. You grow up, you go into this, you start doing it, and it's cool to do those things. It makes you popular, it makes you fit in, it makes you like everybody else, right? So I fell in with the crowd of people who were like stoners, skate kids, drinkers, you know, those types of kids, skipping school, all that kind of stuff. And I had absolutely no problem with it at all. I had a good time in high school for a while, you know, like it was something that was I didn't realize was going to become such a serious problem later down the road. The framework was getting laid out, but hindsight 2020, you know, I can see what the absence of any type of moral framework, you know, when you're just sailing through the world takes you where it wants to take you, and that's not always a good place, you know, as I definitely found out, you
Yeah, that's dangerous.
know.
Just take the analogy of a boat. You don't want to be on the ocean not knowing where you're going. You
Right,
want to at
right.
least have a direction,
Yeah.
and hopefully the correct direction. But when it comes to all of this, not having a moral framework, like you said, put you in places that maybe you shouldn't have been. And that's where we get to the story of the girlfriend that you had at the time. But before we even talk about her, can you explain the circumstances of how like you two met and what happened as soon as you met, essentially?
Yeah, I guess a little bit of backstory to kind of understand a bit about how it got this way, how it got this bad, and how I ended up in a situation like that in the first place. You know, I quickly developed, and I think I always have had, you know, what they call addiction and alcoholism tendencies. You know, that kind of thing really started at a very young age for me, right in high school. That kind of pattern started to develop, right? And, you know, I was talking about how fitting in and feeling popular and feeling wanted and feeling all those things, it quickly became my higher power. You know, my higher power became drugs, alcohol, and the acceptance of other people. And I placed myself at the top of everything, right? Like the way that I feel is more important than anything else. As long as I'm okay, life's okay. Little to no regard for anyone else around me. So as the years progressed of the drinking and other people are going to college, I'm not. I'm still hanging out with the same people, doing the same thing, you know, being pretty much a burnout, you know, doing that whole scene. And my drinking and my using got progressively worse really fast. You know, I accelerated it very fast at a very young age. And it really took me around a lot of people who were negative, right? Like just the path gets narrower on the way down too. You know, when you start getting into more drinking and more drugs, you start to expose yourself to more and more people like yourself, right? And those people, they're sketchy. They're bad people, you know? So by the time I had met Kayla, I was pretty much unemployable. I was bouncing around. I had been in a halfway house or two at this point in my life, you know, struggling with addiction, but not really willing to admit defeat, not really willing to accept help, not really wanting to change. And I was running around with the wrong people, and there was all kinds of ways to make money in those days, you know, stealing, lying, all that terrible stuff that, you know, I've done my best to make amends for today. But